this thing try and connect. All right. Are we ready? Good timing. Perfect timing. It's almost connected. There we go. Okay. All right. Well, guess what book we're looking at today? We get to look at the book of Galatians, which is such a wonderful book for any church to go through. It's a really important book. And as I've been praying and going through this, I got so much good feedback about Philemon. I thought, well, we'll just kind of continue on with more of the Apostle Paul's letters. The book of Galatians is one of the Apostle Paul's most passionate and powerful letters that he wrote in the New Testament. He speaks very passionately as he wrote this letter. Unlike Philemon that we just went through, this letter is written to the churches, not a person. This one's written to the churches. Philemon was the only one of Paul's letters that was actually written to a person. All of his other letters were written to the churches that he had established on his missionary journeys that he went on. Anybody know how many missionary journeys Paul went on? Four. Yeah, four different missionary journeys. And throughout those journeys, he established different churches. So this is not one of Paul's prison letters, by the way. So I know they're kind of grouped together, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were prison letters that Paul wrote when he was in house arrest. But this one was not. This one was not one of the prison letters that Paul wrote. It was written to the churches in Galatia, which was a region in modern-day central Turkey. So here's kind of what what it would have looked like during Paul's time. It's kind of a region. You see, let me just kind of mark this here. You see the word Galatia written right there. And so this is the region. So this is where Paul was going throughout this whole area. And this is who he's written it to. Today it kind of looks like this. This is modern day Turkey. So one of my ministry trips, I got to go here to Turkey. And it's a very interesting place. They had all these different markets. I forget what they call them now. But the food there is amazing, I must say. It's really, really great food. But it's a really interesting country. But that's what Galatia looked like back then, and now it is called present-day Turkey. Just to give you guys kind of an idea, there's the Mediterranean Sea down there. The Black Sea is above it. Okay, you know the Mediterranean Sea is talked about in the Gospels, right? So just to kind of give you guys an area of where Paul is writing this letter to. So to the churches in Galatia, in modern-day central Turkey. So Paul wrote this important letter. Okay, we got to give a background to it, right? I find when people, I always like to give a background to a book, an introduction to it, so we understand the times that was happening, what Paul was doing, why he was writing it, what is the purpose of this letter, so we have an understanding, because I find it helps as we walk through the book. So he wrote this important letter to the churches in this region to address some very serious issues that were threatening the very heart of the gospel message. So that's why Paul writes this very passionately, very firmly, right? It's a very important book because there were some serious issues going on throughout the churches in that area, and it was threatening the very heart of the gospel message. So Paul's like, I have to write this letter. It needs to get out to all of the churches there because we got to straighten this out, right? There is some fallacy going on in this area. So it was written by the Apostle Paul around AD 48 to 45. And remember, we just went through Philemon, which was written when Paul was under house arrest in about AD 60 to 62. So this one was much earlier. It's 48 to 55. Now, why there's such a gap, scholars put a big gap in there, 48 to 55, is because scholars are not positive if Paul's letter was sent to the north Galatians, right? So that would be kind of in this area here, northern or southern. So they weren't positive exactly on which area that Paul was writing to. So they kind of have this big gap. So there's the North Galatians, which was the ethnic Galatians in the north, or if the letter was sent to southern Galatia, to the southern Galatians, which was the Roman province churches Paul visited on his first missionary journey, such as Pisidian, I'll kind of show those in a second, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And you see some of there's Pisidia, there's Lycia, right? And kind of this area down in here. So just to give you guys a bit of a picture of what was going on and who he was writing to. Most scholars lean towards the southern Galatia theory because he refers to them, placing the writing around 48 to 49 then. But this was Paul's earliest letter that he wrote, okay? So here is who he was writing to. Paul was writing this letter. Sorry, let me just fix this here. There we go. He was writing this letter to the multiple churches and congregations in the region of Galatia. And these communities that Paul had founded, or at least deeply influenced during his missionary time there, they were mainly Gentiles. These churches were made up of mainly Gentiles. And so... in this, meaning non-Jewish. So that's the word Gentile, means non-Jewish. Just to clarify that for those of you who don't know, what is a Gentile? Meaning non-Jewish. They were Gentile believers who had received the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is kind of the people who Paul is writing to there. Sometime after Paul had left them, so he has this missionary journey, he's going to visit them, he's telling them about Christ, he's telling them about Jesus, about this newfound faith, and he's saying, listen, Judaism, the old way of doing things, following the Jewish law, is no longer in place. Everything has been fulfilled with that. There is a new covenant now through Jesus Christ. And so that is the message that Paul was preaching. But sometime after he left on his missionary journey to that area, certain false teachers who were often called Judaizers, you guys ever heard that word, Judaizers, right? They were false teachers, and they gave them that name, these false teachers. They called them Judaizers. They came in, and they began teaching that faith in Jesus was not enough to be saved. You have to add to Jesus. But I believe he's the God with no additions and no subtractions. You don't add to him, you don't take away from him. He is God, exclamation mark, end of story. But these Judaizers, these false teachers, were teaching that faith in Christ is not enough. It was not enough to be saved. They were insisting that Gentile believers also had to continue following Jewish practices and Jewish laws and the Jewish customs. In particular, circumcision. They said, no, you still have to be circumcised on the eighth day according to Jewish law and Jewish practices in order to be truly saved and experience true salvation. So it was Jesus plus these practices and these customs and these laws. And this teaching that was going around and being taught by these Judaizers was causing a ton of confusion and division among the Galatians. And it led to people questioning Paul's authority and Paul's message. So is Paul right? Are these Judaizers right? Who's right here? Right? And so Paul is writing this letter because he said, I have to address this. So number one, Paul wrote this letter because he has to defend his apostolic authority because they're questioning it. Right, kind of chapters 1 and 2 of Galatians is dealing with him defending his apostleship, the authority that he's been given as apostle. He's also writing to clarify what the true gospel, which meaning salvation in Jesus, is by grace through faith in Christ alone. And you'll even hear him mention those words in this book as we go through it, right? So it's to clarify that the true gospel is salvation in Jesus by grace through faith in him alone, not the works of the law, right? And Paul kind of talks about that in chapters 3 and 4 of Galatians. How many chapters in Galatians, you know? There's six. Six chapters in Galatians. And kind of the third thing that he's in, he's also in this letter, he's calling believers to live in the freedom of the Spirit. He's asking them, calling them to live in the freedom of the Spirit. You are no longer under obligation under the law, right? The law obligates, but the Spirit frees you, right? And so he's saying, he's calling them, live in the freedom that Jesus brought to us, not under Christian legalism or the desires of the flesh, which he kind of talks about in the last two chapters, chapters 5 and 6 of Galatians. Are you getting excited now? These are so big topics, right? This is really important. We have to be able to understand this. And I love that Paul makes the distinction about this, right? But it's understandable, isn't it? They had been following Jewish law, Jewish practices, Jewish customs for centuries. For centuries upon centuries upon centuries. And now this new kind of covenant comes, right? And again, Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of it, right? I did not come to abolish what the law and the prophets set to do, right? That had its time, that had its place, it had its purpose. But I am the fulfillment of them, right? They're all fulfilled in me because you, O man, could not do it. You tried and you failed, right? Only one person could do it, right? Again, it's contrast, right? We knew it was cold outside because we've experienced heat in the summer, right? We know what soft is because we know what hard is, right? Right? The law had to come first so that we could understand the grace and the love of Jesus, amen? Without the law, we wouldn't understand it. So Jesus said, I'm not here to abolish it. It had its purpose for its time. But we get to live in the times of the new covenant. How blessed are we, right? The prophets and the priests of long ago longed to look into the days that we actually are living in right now. We get to live with the Spirit of Christ in us, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, amen? Right? Romans uses all three, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, right? All meaning the same thing. We get to live with that source living in us now. Not in a temple guarded by a 6 to 8 inch thick curtain, right? There's no separation. He lives. Your bodies are now the temple for my Holy Spirit to dwell, as it says in Corinthians. Amen? Right? So I can't say it enough how blessed we are to live in the days that we're living in, right? But it's understandable, right, that Christianity was pretty new, right? This new covenant is pretty new. Jesus entrusted this to these 12 disciples, right? He had these 12 disciples, and their job was to spread it throughout the rest of the world. Amen? Right? That was their job. But now, these Judaizers are like, hey, wait a second. Yeah, Jesus was very important, and what he did was important, but we still have to follow and be under the law. And Paul is saying, I don't know what gospel you're following, but it's not the one that I preach to you, right? Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. You don't add to it, you don't subtract to it. Jesus was enough, amen? Didn't we sing that this morning? More than enough, right? He was more than enough. So Paul is calling believers to live in the freedom of the Spirit, not under Christian legalisms or the desires of the flesh. And that's kind of how he ends his letter in chapters 5 and 6 of Galatians. So the main themes that we're going to look at in this book as we go throughout it is justification through faith. We've all heard that term before, right? Justification by faith. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus alone, not by obeying the Mosaic law. Let me read just a couple of passages from Galatians so I can make this point that this is one of Paul's themes that he's talking about. So justification by faith. Let me just open up to the book of Galatians. Okay, listen to this. So one of the things that Paul is trying to get a point, one of his points is we are made with right with God. We are made right with Father God through faith in Jesus alone, not by obeying the Mosaic law. So chapter 2, and I think I'll look at verse 16. Here's what it says, verse 16. He says, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? Okay, I'm going to say that again. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. Interesting, he notes sinful Gentiles, right? Paul was really bold. He didn't care. If it was truth, and he just said it, right? As we knew by Philemon. Remember that, right? So it was kind of funny the things that he said in that letter to Philemon. Know that a person is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That means your salvation is not based upon your works, what you do. Your salvation, what makes you right before God, is based upon what he did and wants to do through you, right? Galatians 2:20 is such a vitally important key verse. We'll talk about that in a bit. I could barely contain myself. I love this book. These are such important passages, okay? Let me look at one more making this point. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Here's what it says in verse 11. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will what? Will live by faith. Amen? Is faith important in the Christian life? It's very important. It is. It's everything. That word faith is used so many times, right? Believing is not seeing, right? Faith. Faith is seeing. If you have faith, you will see. Amen? Right? But we want to see by sight, right? I want to see it before I'll believe it, right? But Jesus is saying, you may not see it, but I want you to trust me. Right? It takes faith to believe that we're saved not by our works, what you do, but by what he did. Amen? The righteous will live by faith. So that's one of Paul's main points that he's trying to get across. He's also wanting to get across that we have freedom in Christ. That we are free from the bondage of the law and sin. Amen? Did you hear that? Okay, we are free from the bondage of the law. Right? The law bound people. They were bound to it. They were handcuffed to it. They had to follow all these customs, all these practices, all these rules and regulations, day in and day out, year in and year out. And Paul is saying now you are free from the bondage of those laws and from sin. Here's what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this verse. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Did you hear that? It is for freedom. So what does that mean? Jesus wants you to live freely. Amen? Not in bondage. Not handcuffed. As some might share the gospel with you. Right? They give you all these rules, all these regulations, and now you start living to a list and no longer to him who lives within. Right? That is the problem. Right? Let him lead. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by that yoke of slavery. Oh, amen. I don't want to be bogged and burdened down by the law and the rules and the regulations. Right? Remember when it said to obey is better than sacrifice? Right? It was all about the practice of sacrificing. No, you're missing the point. It's relationship with him. He wants you no longer to be burdened by that yoke of slavery, but have freedom. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. What a wonderful message in this letter of Galatians. Another thing that Paul's getting across, the role of the law. What was the role of the law then? Right? Why was it there? The law was always meant to be a temporary guardian, if you will. Right? In quotations. The law was meant to be a temporary guardian. Until Christ came, but now believers are under grace, right? Listen to what it says in Galatians 3. Let me read, let me start at verse 24. Galatians 3, 24. Listen to what he says. So the law was put in charge of us, okay? The law was put in charge of us until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. What are we justified by? One, two, three?
Faith.
Thank you. Right? We are justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, it is here, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Amen. Right? We have to be able to get this. This gets so confused in Christendom today. Right? Some are still preaching legalism. Right? That your works count. And Paul, that's what he's saying. What are you, what's going on? Are you listening to these Judaizers? They are false teachers. I, Paul, an apostle made by that way, by God, by the way. Listen to my teaching. This is not the gospel that I preach to you. You're following a false gospel. The law was put in charge of us until Christ came, that we might be justified now by faith in who? Jesus, not yourself and your works. Now that this faith has come, it has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Amen. Right? The law binds us, but grace and truth in Christ frees us. That's the point Paul is trying to make in this letter. I love it. Unity in Christ is another point that Paul is trying to make. There is now no Jew, no Gentile, no slave or free or master. There's no male or female. We are all one, the same. In who? In Christ Jesus. Do you know I'm not any closer to God than you are? Yes. That just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me greater. Doesn't make me just a little bit tighter with the Lord. The same Jesus that lives in me lives in you. Right? Corinthians says, and you have the mind of Christ. That means you and I have the same IQ. And if we have the mind of Christ, what's our IQ? What was Einstein's? Like, yeah, 180? What's ours? Like infinity? Right? We get to tap into that. Right? I love that. We have unity in Christ. There's no Jew, no Gentile, nor slave, nor master, nor male, nor female. We are all one, the same in Jesus Christ. Remember that picture of the vine that I showed you when I was at that vineyard in South America? And the vine goes up like this and out. It goes, you know, oh, here, let me draw it for you. I have this thing for a reason. Let's see if I know how to use it. I don't know how to use it. Oh my, yeah, I know. See, me and technology, you guys. Okay, there we go. Let's end that session, please. Let me just start all over. Okay. Hi. Okay, there we go. Now let me just do this instead. Okay, so it goes like this and like that, and then the vines are actually all up here. Or the branches, sorry. This part here that I'm making really dark and heavy, that's the vine. And then the branches are all there. Right? Isn't that interesting? So what do we learn about that? There's no branch above another, and there's no branch below another. What are they? They're all level, right? They're all level. They're all the same, right? There's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Greek. We're all one, the same in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. That is also one of Paul's points that he's trying to make in this letter, that we have unity in Christ. Galatians 3:28 is where that verse comes from. And one other point, I just got a couple things I want to say here. Life in the Spirit is a big theme in this book of Galatians. Paul's talking about you can walk by the Spirit or you can walk according to the flesh, right? And he's encouraging them, no, we now walk by the Spirit. Paul makes a big, big emphasis of the contrast of living by the flesh as opposed to living or walking in the Spirit. Here's what it says. I'm going to want to read this. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I remember my high school teacher at Caremport. What was his name? Cindy, what was his name? Our principal? Mr. Adams, right? Mr. Adams? Mr. Adams, that was one of the verses, one of the first verses I remember. I never had a Bible class in my life before, and we had Christian, whatever they called it, grade 12 Christian life or something like that. And yeah, Christian ethics, thank you. That's what it was, Christian ethics. And that was the first verse that he had us memorize. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen? That is an important verse to memorize. Against these things, there is no law. So if you walk in the Spirit, right? You're abiding, as John says in John 15, you're abiding in him and he in you. You will bear much fruit. This is the fruit that John's talking about. Paul just kind of lists some of them. It's not an exhaustive list by many means, but he just names some of them, right? I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you rest in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now again, this is one of the points Paul is making throughout his letters and throughout the books in the New Testament. But who does the work? The producer or the bearer? The producer. The branch merely has to receive the work from the vine by faith, right? Which is one of the points Paul is making here, right? We receive the work from the vine by faith. And as we do that, you will bear much fruit. But apart from him, you can do some things. Well, a few things. No, it says absolutely nothing. Nothing, right? I can do nothing apart from him. Okay, so in chapters 1 and 2 that we're going to walk through first, Paul is giving his personal defense. He has the authority as an apostle, and his testimony is the truth. Don't listen to these Judaizers. And then chapter 3 and 4 we'll look at, Paul's giving a doctrinal explanation of the true meaning of faith and the law. Right? Here's what the law was. Here's what faith in Christ now is. Don't mix them anymore. Right? Jesus has fulfilled them. And then the last two chapters, it's just kind of basically practical living. The application of the Christian life and living in the Spirit, which therefore allows the believer to live in this wonderful word, freedom. Do you know that in all the texts that are written in all the religions in the world, the Bible is the only one that uses that word freedom? Did you know that? It is the only one that uses the word freedom. Because in every other religion, there is no freedom, right? Only Christ and Christ alone will actually truly free you. So that's another one of Paul's main points. I can't wait some of the key verses that you guys would know. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. We're going to talk about how does that work? How, explain that for me. How was I crucified with Christ? How can I possibly be with him over 2,000 years ago? I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. Therefore, I no longer live. Who is the I that no longer lives? But Christ now lives in through me. How does he do that? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis in my everyday life? How does he live through me? How does that happen when I'm at work? How does that happen when I'm with my friends? How does that hope happen in my loneliness and my quietness? How does he live his life? Don't you think that's an important thing to talk about? Right? The application of what Christ did on the cross and the point that Paul's making is that we must walk by the Spirit, not according to the flesh and according to the law. Amen? Jesus fulfilled it. Chapter 3, verse 11, the righteous should live by faith. Yes, will, shall. That is the word. I looked it up, and it means will. Not, it says, the righteous. You can't help it, right? And your righteousness comes from you and your work or Christ and his? Christ and his. The righteous will live by faith. And then one of the other ones that I just read, Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And as it says in other ones, and if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed, right? You are free indeed. My question that I want to leave with you this morning is, are you free? In your life, just ponder it for a second. Do you feel free in your life, or do you feel chained down by something? Is something bounding you? Do you have joy? As Peter said, remember we talked about it, it's an inexpressible and glorious joy, right? Not necessarily a smile to ear to ear, but a contentment. Remember when Paul said, I've learned the secret to being content? And I remember asking that when I was in college. Okay, Paul, what's the secret? Because I am anything but content. I'm trying to understand this Christian thing. It seems complicated, right? But that's why Jesus came. He came to simplify and make simple what the Pharisees, religious leaders, and teachers of the law were making so complex and so complicated. Right? I've come to simplify it. Amen? Amen. Right? We have freedom in Christ. And, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All right. Do you know that this book of Galatians was important by many, many popular people that you would know, Christians, speakers, pastors in the past, right? This book was often called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. It was often called that. It defends the core of the Christian gospel, that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Did you hear that? Right? It defends the core of the Christian gospel, that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone is the truth. Amen? Not by works. Do you know, actually, I should make this point, Martin Luther, during the Reformation period, he considered Galatians one of his most favorite books and a key text that helped restore the truth of justification by faith during his time. He accredited that to the book of the Galatians, reading it, getting it translated, right? Martin Luther was one of the guys, right? And it helped him understand justification by faith alone in Christ, not by the works of the law. Amen. Okay. We're going to go into communion. And as we go into communion this morning, again, the question I just want you to ponder in your minds and in your hearts: are you living in that freedom that Paul is talking about in this letter? Do you feel free? Right?